This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at In This League Pod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
That, my friends, is the sound of Bogman and the Welsh live at Chase Field as Seth effing Beer drops a walk-off home run in our ballpark. Bogman, let's go!
Oh man, what a day. Incredible moment, obviously. Opening day win. They were getting their asses kicked the entire game. Yu Darvish had a no-hitter, and they pulled him because it's opening day and you can't throw that many pitches. And Seth Beer on National Beer Day goes yard, and we absolutely lose our minds. So, what a great day.
This is the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Chris Welsh. That is Mr. Scott Bogman. Mr. Jet Flying, Limousine Riding, Rootin' Tootin' Son of a Gun. I don't remember the rest of him. But it is Scott Bogman from Texas coming out day one, opening day. We were together in person, and friends, today on the episode, we will talk to you about opening day. We are going to be breaking down this sucker because our footprint was kind of across the board from betting to live streaming. I live streamed the opening game simply because I had no runs first inning prop going on against the Brewers and Cubs. We'll break down everything that went down. There's also some news and notes that we're going to kind of intertwine into the games. We have got all the things for you here on an insane edition of the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Because, friends, I walked in the house 15 minutes ago. Bogman is staying at our dear friend Jesse's. Bogman's doing a one-man show. I don't know if everybody knows this. Bogman is in the living room of our friend. And I hope this is happening. I believe Jesse is sitting about 10 feet from you, just staring at you.
No, that is not.
He's not staring at me.
He's in his living room watching his TV.
You know? I think he should stare at you though. I think he should stare and just do the whole thing. That's part of the gig. Like,
well, thinks you should just stare at me while I do this, Jesse.
I want to point out, this is an amazing thing that's happened. For years, I have offered up Bogman's house everybody to stay at.
I was thinking about that today.
Yeah. And Jesse's not a listener because he's a great friend of ours now.
Right.
But Bogman has a house offered up to him, and Bogman is out there housing it up.
It's the reverse Bogman. Like, you didn't offer me Jag's house, but Jag did offer. So, yes, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, big shout out to Jag for having me out here, making this possible. And, what a great way to kick it off.
And I got
two more games to go to, man.
I know. And Bogman's got a little remote set up here. If he sounds a tiny bit different, but sound pretty good, looking pretty good and doing all this stuff. We're going to get into all of it, but we do want to remind you guys, inthisleague.com, if you guys want to have so much fun with us, which there is always so much fun, whether we're doing ranks, which I've just posted a brand new prospect update with Dynasty as well. We have got GroupMe rooms, secret shows. We've got live streams. We got all the stuff, and it's a listener-supported podcast. So when you go to our website, inthisleague.com, which is our Patreon, and you sign up, you are directly supporting Bogman and I to be insane people, to be the crazies that we are, and we deeply appreciate it. As little as $5 will get you the ranks and stuff, and if you want to go a tiny step further, you can, and you could be a part of our little community. And I mean, look, Jack, Bogman's literally staying at his house right now. That's a part of our community. It's a tight-knit group. It's a great group, and we'd love to have you, and we appreciate your support in this league.com. What a whirlwind of a day the entire thing was, too, because Bogman found maybe the fanciest place in all of downtown Phoenix.
I mean, I didn't find it. I thought it was a different place than it was.
Would you like to explain the place that I want? This is a great thing. I would like you to explain the place that you thought it was that you wanted to go to. So explain what that place was and the waitresses. What did they look like?
Yeah, well, I mean, the term, which is not my term for these places that I have heard said, is... No, you don't want me to say it?
Okay. I'm a little worried what you're going
to
say.
Are you going to have to beep it out? I mean...
Maybe.
Anyway, it's a tilted kilt. You guys can figure out what kind of place that would be, right? So...
No, explain it more.
Tilting, so... Hooters, Twin Peaks, anything like that. I think you guys are catching the drift. So,
you were looking for this place, which, by the way,
well, I thought that's the place you liked because we went there one time.
I've never been there.
You've been into the Tilted Kilt. We met one of your old radio buddies there.
You know what? You are right about that. Yeah, I do remember that.
Remember, my memory is pretty solid.
Memory is pretty good. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, maybe there's some kilts that men aren't wearing, and maybe there's some little white shirts that you were looking for. That was not the case, but it ended up being, what was it called? It was called
the Bourbon Room.
The Bourbon Room. And we walk in there, no one's there. No one at all. And here was a bigger problem.
One sad person at the bar.
Super sad person. It was like 2:45 in the afternoon, and there's one person sitting at the bar, and we walk in. Here's what was sadder. Every television had the Masters on.
All of them had the Masters on.
No baseball. On opening day, in the same hemisphere of the stadium, and they didn't know what to do, by the way. They're like, we don't know, we don't have the package. And Bogman's like, it's pretty sure it's free. And then they're like, we can't find it. And then this, the waiter who ended up, like, you know, looking us up on Twitter and stuff, because we were talking about the podcast stuff, he ended up finding the games and hooking it up.
He finally, like, the manager's trying to do it, and he's good.
He just gave up. He was like, I gotta get out of here.
I'm like, just go to the 700s, man. And he was right on it. So
And you nailed it.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to him. And this was the second bar that only had the Masters on. It was wild. It was crazy. And
I like the Masters. You know, I get it. People like golf, all that stuff. It's opening day for the national pastime. Maybe put a couple baseball games on those TVs.
And we treated the day as a, you know, it's like a content king. I mean, I started the day. You actually jumped in and watched it. I bet the no runs. I don't know why I screwed up all the time. No runs in the first inning for the Cubs and Brewers, and I was sweating it out. I went bing, bang, boom for the Brewers, and then the Cubs come up, got the first out, and then Wilson Contreras he pimped a ball that I did a live stream. It's like 10 minutes, probably still up there on my Twitter. I was like, oh no, and it died at the track because there was 20 mile an hour winds going out. And I had doubled down because DraftKings had put a boost for the no runs in the first inning. So I bet it twice. And thank God I did, because I hit a lot of bets, but one specific bet hurt me a little bit later in the day. So we go. I have a couple nice bourbons. Fantastic moment. I had asked Bogman before. I'm like, hey, you want to go get lunch? And he's like, oh, no, Jesse already made lunch. We're good. So I'm like, okay, so we're going to meet in an hour. We meet there. We get there. I order a bourbon. Bogman has like a soda or whatever, and you know, doesn't know if he's gonna do anything. And I see something on the menu, and it's called what was it, like
burnt ends mac and cheese.
Burnt ends mac and cheese, and what it was, burnt ends brisket mac and cheese. And I go, Bogman, look at this. So and then and Jag Jesse's like, oh, look at this. So we get the waiter comes over, and I think that's when I ordered my bourbon. And then he's like, you guys just drinking or gonna have any food? And it was like, Bogman's like, nah, I think we're just gonna hang out for right now. And I was like, well, you know, these guys were looking and said, how good is this burnt end mac and cheese? And he goes, oh, he's like, it's everybody's favorite here. And then Bogman goes, I'll have it.
I'll just get it.
Like, and then Jesse goes, I'll have it too.
Yeah. At that point, I was like, I know I'm getting this. Like, you know, I maybe had a little medicine kicking in at this point. I was like, you know what? I know I'm going to get this. Let's just go ahead and order it. You know,
little tiny bits of medicine. So that's
great.
That's the origin of the first picture that I put out. Was at that around that moment. We stayed there for a while. We watched a little bit of the game action. We watched Bobby Witt, which we'll talk about here in a bit. So let's fast forward to the game. We're at this game. There's a lot of people there. But as you reported to me, it was the lowest attended opening day at Chase Field ever in the history. Yep. So we were there for history.
About, I think, just over 35,000 people, and that stadium can hold 48,000. So, you know, 75% full, we'll say, if we're being generous here. So I don't know, man. And look, I bought those seats that we had, I bought yesterday.
Yeah, and I think you like we had looked a couple days before, and they were a price, and they went down.
Yeah, they did. I'm told. Yeah, they went down. I think it was at least $10 a ticket. So
yeah, well, that's fantastic. So we're in this game. I'm very dialed in. I had a very good day betting. I really did. I was hitting on a lot of the stuff I publicly said. One of the best moments was I had openly had Nolan Arenado over total bases at 1.5, and he had no hits. And it was the eighth inning. He came up for his last at bat, and he crushed a homer. This was at the Bourbon Room, and I jumped up.
Yeah, I mean, I said that too. You were like, "Come on, let's get a double." I'm like, "Just hit it out."
Yeah, yeah. You're like, "Just hit it out," and he did. Yeah. And that was great for a bet. As we walked by, the FanDuel Sportsbook was over at the Suns Arena, and I watched as Tyler Molly started getting strikeouts. I'm like, "This is killer." I had made a bet on Shohei Ohtani strikeouts. This is killer. I had one thing I needed: Ketel Marte. So we flash forward into this game, and Yu Darvish was slicing and dicing the Diamondbacks. He actually wasn't, I know you watched the game in person, he wasn't as magnificent as the stat line would show you. Because
he had some walks, yeah.
Yeah, because he was messy. I think he had four, he had more walks than strikeouts during the game. The thing that showed so much was the lack of power in the Diamondbacks offense. I don't mean like home run power. I'm just saying like, any type of power, like great contact. They were poorly hitting everything, whole lot of flyouts, a few ground outs, not much. I don't think Manny Machado made a play in this entire game. It was just pop outs the whole time.
He ran into Carson Kelly, a douchebag.
Yeah, that play was insane. That ridiculous play where
being a dick,
get
dude,
out of the way. Yeah.
He just ran right into him to try to knock him over because he popped straight up. I mean,
but and also
classic Manny Machado being a you know what he is.
It was the exact. That's exactly what it was too. Like because we saw it in person, everyone was like, "What happened with it?" He did the thing he does. He absolutely could have avoided him. He ran straight into him, and then he got up and he like tapped him on the back, like, "Hey, so, you know, cool, good job, buddy." And it's like, "No, dude, you just ran into him. You could have hurt him." Like, he was looking up into the air.
Well, he threw his bat at Jeff Mathis a couple years back. And that's when Bob Brenly, you know, said something about his necklaces after he threw a bat at Jeff Mathis, and everyone was pissed at Brenly. So, yeah, I mean, Machado's had I don't think, you know, the Diamondbacks are, you know, they're not special with Manny Machado at all. He's had these run-ins all over the place. So.
Yeah, he loves to have them. Loves to step on players' feet and do all that
type
of stuff.
Didn't he do, like, the bat swing all the way back and hit somebody?
Yeah. Wasn't it like, I don't know why Yadier. I don't know why Yadier stuck out to me, but whatever. But yeah, you know, it's constantly a thing. But like, if you watched it, Darvish was all right, but he was forcing a lot of really bad contact, which I think is a really good sign. So we're in this game and we're kind of going. Every time Ketel's up, I'm really rooting for it. By the time we get to the fourth, Bogman and I start looking at each other and we're like, "Jesus Christ, what is happening here?" And then we get into the fifth, and then now we'll bring in, this is the origin of the first video that I did. And this was me checking in with Bogman as we were, this was the sixth inning in between, because we find out that they take him out of the game. And this is the video. This is my check-in with Bogman.
Yu Darvish has a no-hitter right now. What do you think about that?
Really glad I flew out to watch a Padres no-hitter.
How expensive was it to fly out here to see the Diamondbacks get no hit?
Expensive.
Yeah?
Enough.
Are you happy?
It's a great time. Happy opening day, everybody.
So what a fantastic moment that is right there. Happy opening day, everybody. Because Bogman, we were both kind of dejected. We got very excited when the first hit came in, and we're like, okay. Then
you know
turned.
What's funny, dude? I mean, just to point it out, the last time the Diamondbacks won a game like this on opening day, Madison Bumgarner's pitching against us, and he had a perfect game through six innings, and he hit two homers. So that was the last opening day that we came back and won, and then this one. Darvish didn't give up a hit.
So
get in that bullpen on the opener.
And as soon as they brought, they started bringing guys in, like Tim Hill immediately gave up the no-hitter, and they started going. I turned my attention to Ketel Marte, and it just did not.
Trying to find a way to get him back up.
It's all he needed. I'm telling you, dude. Like, I had parlayed him with Ohtani and Arenado, which I hit, and it would have been a big old windfall, and I was trying to manifest a hit. So the no-hitter's gone, and we move in to the ninth. The Padres are only up by two, and something we find out, It got announced mid-game that Taylor Rogers. Taylor Rogers is already named the closer for Tyler the Padres. Miguel. Yeah, Tyler is on the Giants.
Tyler.
Yeah, well, that's Tyler Miguel.
I'm just throwing out weird names to screw with you. So
yeah. And we found out he was the closer, and we're like, okay, so that ends that. And the moment, because Pierce Johnson came in like the seventh, and he was all right. So coming into the ninth, he's not available, and Ranger Suarez is the guy. Or not Ranger Suarez, Robert Suarez is the reliever. He proceeds to come in and throw eight straight balls. And he's throwing 100, by the way. Gassing at 100, but he can't hit anything. So we're starting to kind of rev up. We're getting guys on base. They're walking a couple. They're super, super messy. It's all craziness. So, I mean, everybody kind of knows the story here, but there is a funny thing. I'm going to play on my phone real quick because I didn't get this. I had the phone up a couple times in, you know, trying to get like a really good video. And I had asked you, you know, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. But as everybody knows now, because it's the popular thing, it's National Beer Day. I didn't even know it. But yeah, listen for this lady. This is going to be the wild pitch. So this is where the bases are loaded and there's a wild pitch that's going to score, I believe, Carson Kelly. But listen to the lady who's right over by us. I'm going to just play it via my phone here. Let's see. Let me unmute it and like that. So that was a wild pitch. That's Did you hear the lady? She goes, "It's National Beer Day, so why not?"
Yeah. Okay.
That's the video right before I get the camera on and I get what is now going to be an ITL classic, one run on. Seth Beer, they decide to not intentional walk.
Bogman looks at me.
I thought he was already intentional walk. Bogman, I thought, said they intentional walked him. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense. They're going to go to Sergio Alcantara. And selfishly, I'm like, cool. Then we'll get a fly out. We'll go to extra innings. Maybe I get Cattell back up. And they decide not to intentional walk Seth Beer.
That forces an out at any plate, like at any base.
Because there's only one out. There was one out.
Yeah, there's one out. So I was like, why wouldn't they? Plus, Beer's got a little power. It's just a stupid move to not do
it. And by the way, Beer chopped one. They did a huge shift on him, and he punched at Oppo for a single earlier on. This is the, after that video, the very next
It's
pitch.
Bob Melvin, by the way. Not a surprise at all that Bob Melvin makes an idiot decision.
Crowd starts cheering Beer. You're going to hear me, and then you're going to hear the shot.
Beer, Beer, Beer.
What a moment, as I've become psychotic. My voice, I go absolutely psycho. Bogman is in full cheer mode, and that is how we celebrated our opening day. Was yours better? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know how it could be.
It was bourbon. It was food. It was beer. And it was Seth Beer. I got a free beer, by the way, before the game as well. They had free beers. We grabbed a free beer and a little koozie, and then we celebrated National Beer Day with a Seth Beer absolute monster home run. And Melvin, after the game, had said that Taylor Rogers was unavailable due to a bullpen session he had thrown, I believe, before the trade. And it was like one of those big, intense bullpen sessions.
get you that, ramped up.
Yeah, that did not allow him to jump into this game. And there you go. That is how we celebrate. Wild moment.
Sorry,
man.
Padres fans. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it was awesome. It was just a classic, amazing opening day memory. And, you know, I've been all these opening days, and I have so many of them, but that was definitely a topper.
Yeah, and you had to remind me because I was like, have we ever had one as good? And you're like, yeah, we had. But I want to point out, we went and we did physically see 6 no-hit innings by Yu Darvish.
Well, that's what I was saying before. The Madison Bumgarner one, he had a perfect game.
Yeah.
Into the 6, and he had hit 2 homers.
But I wasn't at that game. Like I'm saying, and I were at this game. We saw 6 innings of no-hit ball from Darvish. And then we saw this atrocious Diamondbacks team come back, and Seth Beer was on. And Darvish looked, as much as his inconsistency shown, I do want to point out, you know, I think he hit 98 on a pitch.
He looked good.
His fastball was good. He was pitching to really poor contact. He wasn't getting a whole bunch of swings and misses. The Diamondbacks team is just not great, though. You know, like, they don't have a great offense. Cattell, boy, I got to tell you, my bet aside, Cattell looked the worst I've ever seen him. He was hyper-aggressive.
He was
swinging at everything. He looked bad.
I think that's the opening day jitters, dude. You know, that's why it's a guy like Seth Beer that comes through in a spot like that. You know what I mean? So I think that that's more of what it was. But he was on a couple of them, and he just fouled them right back. So, you know, hopefully I'll be going tomorrow. You know, hopefully we'll get Cattell on track.
No, so. I mean, guaranteed. I just tell you right now, I don't know what any props are out there.
Because you're not going to bet him? Right, right.
No, whatever his hit is, I would bet on it. I would bet his hit number tomorrow. I looked at Bogman after he proceeded to go 0 for 4. I'm like, he's going 4 for 4 tomorrow. There's no doubt. He just looks so hyper-aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'd also point out Madison Bumgarner didn't look a horror. I mean, he fell apart, as he always does later on. He did hit 93. He was hitting 93. Yeah. You know, his secondaries looked good. He had great control early in the game, and then his pitch count got up, and then he got knocked out of the game, I think, in the third inning. Diamondbacks are going to still lose. Like, that moment, remember that moment, because that moment is going to be the only celebrating we have for the Diamondbacks here. After watching this team live in person, how we did, Darvish, not on his best day, no hit the Diamondbacks for 6 innings. And he walked more than he struck out. Just think about that for a minute.
And we say Bumgarner, you know, pitched okay, but he only could last 3 innings.
Yeah, he can only last 3 innings. He's atrocious, man. So what a moment. How's your voice doing?
I think it's okay. I mean, it's definitely scratchy and I'm tired. So, but I think we're doing okay. I don't know that many people would notice a huge difference.
Yeah, but I mean, you were space traveling, and we had the ups and downs. Someone had it was one of the best moments ever, because we had been talking about this, and there may be content out there for it. But as the Padres were, I think it was on the video I posted about Bogman upset. I think it was Mr. Burns, like, going his hands like good, and he said Carl Jr.'s execs now.
Execs, yeah.
It was excellent. Such a great moment. And I just want everybody to know, I may have convinced Bogman to do a Carl's Jr. hit. I told you I want to do like either one of two things. I want to do like the Inner Sandman, like closer walking in, or maybe go Stone Cold. I don't know what entrance music we need, but
100% not doing Stone Cold. So,
oh, okay, so I got to understand.
Understand, man, would be fine.
That's well, your cousin was there, and your cousin was all for it. He loved the idea, and he supported this, and I think that put you over the top. So.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah.
So not surprised that, you know. But yeah, man, great day. Just an awesome day, an awesome time. Even Jesse, who's not even a D-backs fan, he got goosebumps.
Yeah, you know? it was a great day. I felt really good with a lot of my prop betting. Most literally, Cattell Marte is the only thing that was a big failure today. I pushed on a through 5 bet. I hit my other props with Shohei. I hit my other prop with Arenado. It was literally Cattell was the only one that didn't hit. So, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it through and through. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what we have got planned for you is just easy enough, friends. We're going to talk about opening day and break down. Obviously, not everybody played, which was kind of a disappointment, but there's a lot of takeaways. There were some crazy picking back up from last season performances. There might be some bounce back performances. there were some struggles. Actually, one of our boys from PitcherList pointed out something we might be really, really wanting to be concerned about, and we'll just tie any news we can as we are heading into a very big slate of Friday games. So hopefully you guys can listen to this early or just intertwine it with all the conversation. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to break down opening day of the Major League season. Damn, that feels good to say, doesn't it? All right, we'll be right back.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
All right, Boggs. First up on the opening day was the early game. It was like 11 a.m. our time. I think 2 p.m. on the East Coast it was. And we had some, at least one of our Army members that was live at that game. It was the Chicago Cubs hosting the Brewers. And would you know it? The Chicago Cubs pulled this baby out 5-4. They were a big old plus on the money line as well to win this game. And part of the biggest reasons I watched this game beyond my first inning, I felt really sheepish about it when we found out there's like 16 to 20 mile an hour winds going outside of center field. But one of the biggest standout issues was how bad Corbin Burnes looked. Corbin Burnes was from a pitching perspective, pitches looked fine, but from a consistency perspective, he was
4 walks, 3 strikeouts.
Aggressively not worse Corbin than Hendricks, Burnes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so. Hendricks didn't look bad at all. But Burnes didn't even get the loss. Andy Ashby got the loss. So yikes.
And check this
Aaron
out.
Andy Ashby. He used to play third like did. A million years ago. Jesus.
Kyle Hendricks got 17 swing and misses in the game compared to Corbin Burnes 11.
Wow. Wow. What the hell is happening?
That's a pretty big deal, right? I'm trying to see also if I mean, could.
I'm not shaking in my boots if I'm rostering Burnes or anything, but it's not a great start, you know?
No, it's not. And I wanted to see, okay. Yeah. So Corbin Burnes here, it looks like, I'm just looking at his pitches. That was kind of a big focus we all had here. He had a couple. His slider was still rocking pretty good. Most were over 30% CSW, which looked relatively solid. He was down, though. His cutter and his changeup were down over 100 RPM spin-wise. And I felt like that was apparent. And if you're trying to get a reason behind it, it was a cold-ass day. It was like a cold ass windy day that, you know, there might have been a little bit of
nasty weather in St. Louis too. Like, you know, that's and a couple games were postponed. I mean, it's just that time of year.
Yeah, there might be like just like a little bit of break, you know, like grip issues, not being able to fully get that because, you know, he wasn't completely on it. And he had a little bit of you could tell that there was like a lack of spin going on by not hitting any corners. He just was really struggling. And I don't think it's anything to be worried about. If you got league mates that are like, oh my God, Corbin Burnes. You know, I think there is a pitcher from this first day to maybe be worried about, but I just don't think it's Corbin. Do you have any worry about Corbin Burnes?
No, a cold day, weird day. No, I'm not worried. I mean, I am super impressed by Kyle Hendricks. I'll say that, you know.
It felt very Adam Wainwright-ish, right?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like old Kyle Hendricks. 7 strikeouts, 3 walks. I mean, maybe not the walks, but 5 1/3. You look good out there, man. He looked really good. So he was impressive on opening day as he has been in the past, but we did not expect it. I mean, I think he kind of has moved into like the, you know, Kyle Hendricks and Patrick Corbin of like, no one is believing these guys anymore, you know, but he went out and spun a pretty good one today.
For the Cubs, the biggest like pickup that everybody jumped to was Nico Hoerner. And a reminder, you know, that homer he hit, barely hit it out, and there's 20 mile an hour wind that was pushing out. So like everyone was losing their mind.
Didn't they say that was his first one since 2019 too? So
yeah, I mean, I'm a Nico Hoerner guy. Like I like. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that because I haven't talked about him.
Just ran him down pretty bad. So
I liked Nico Hoerner as a prospect and stuff like that. But people are going nuts about picking him up. Like he's going to be that. I saw somebody post. I wish I could remember who it was. And the context, it was something along the lines like, hey, who's going to be the guy that hits a 2-run shot on opening day that everyone's going to lose their mind about. And so funny that Nico Horner had a two-run shot early on that got people jacked up, and it just, I wasn't into it. I was into Ian Happ, though, who went three for four with two RBIs.
This dude hits a double to get the first lead of the season for the Cubs. No emotion at all. Nothing. He's just standing on second, you know, making sure his gloves are good, all that stuff.
But he does.
Just no smiling. You know, Mr. Smiley, Ian Happ.
That's what he does, man. And on the Brewer side, Yelich didn't look great. Yelich was like, back to the Yelich stuff, dude. Like, why? Make it stop.
I mean, you know, it's hopefully he'll look better. I'm not holding my breath. I don't have any shares of Christian Yelich at all.
Well, so. I do. I've got a share too. McCutchen looked good. He had a couple of hits. Rowdy Tellez had a couple of hits. Colton Wong led off. He was in the leadoff spot. Again, that was another thing to pay attention to, was kind of the structure of how teams ended up hitting guys. You know, the Cubs, they went Ortega to Madrigal, which is really important for Nick Madrigal. Nick Madrigal belongs at the two spot, even though he didn't do much but walk. But, like, that's really fantastic for his potential value, where they hit, like, Patrick Wisdom, like, eight in that team. And on the Brewers' side, Willy Adames was hitting two right behind Colton Wong. Rowdy Tellez was in a really good spot as well. And, like I said, he had a couple hits. And on the pitching lines, again, Corbin Burns went five, struck out four, walked three, giving up a homer. And Aaron Ashby came in and ended up getting the loss. And interesting for everybody that gets super bonkers about him in a rotation. I don't recall hearing like what the decision was on him, if he was full relief. But like the Guardians later, they used Tristan McKenzie because they didn't need a fifth starter. I don't know if that was a situation here with Ashby or not.
I bet it was.
It had to have been, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't see him get a starter too.
Kyle Hendricks, he went 5 1/3, struck out seven. He walked three. And here was the big dog. David Robertson was the guy who got the save. Rowan Wick came in in the seventh, I think it was. And then they went to Michael Gibbons.
And
Wick gave up a run. I guess they accredited him with a hold, but he gave up a run and two hits. They went to Gibbons, and then Robertson comes in and has, you know, it's not a clean inning, but he had one hit with one strikeout, and he ends up picking up, I believe, did he get credit? Yeah, he got credited with his first save. So this is going to now be a guy that you kind of got to run to the streets for.
Yeah, I mean, pick him up for sure. But I'm not wholly completely convinced they're not going to give Givens a shot here and there, Wick a shot here and there. So I think this is one that will be fairly matchup based. And I think we have another one that happened today that'll be like that as well.
Okay, so I mean, so you're not really super interested. I mean, because we had a couple.
No,
of those,
I mean, go like, pick him up. You know, you just never know who's going to get saves. So go pick him up, but don't be surprised if he's a dump at the end of the month. You know, I don't think he'll rack up like six saves. If he does, great, then you did the right thing for sure. And they gave him the first shot, so that's the guy you want first. Whoever's getting the first shot, but you know, I'm not. He's probably not going to be number one on my list by the end of the week. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, Well, it's hard to jump here. I kind of want to jump. Put a pin in that because I want to compare him against the other guy that got the surprising save. The next game up, this was a very exciting game. This was the Guardians versus the Royals. And you had Shane Bieber going up against Zach Greinke. This was the game I did Moneyline Guardians, first five. And what an absolute crushing push I had on this, Boggs. The Guardians, they scored
the Guardians.
They scored in the fourth, and I'm like, yes. We get to the fifth, it's 1-0, one out gone, two outs gone. Stupid Hunter Dozier comes in, hits a double, and now it's Nicky Lopez. All I need is an out. And one out. This is it. I need Nicky Lopez to just get out. Crushes the ball to left. And stupid Amed Rosario and Miles Straw just look at each other with their dings in their hands. And they don't go to the ball. The ball drops. But at least I pushed the bet. I did push the bet. Here was the... it ended up Bieber only went 4 2/3. He struck out four. So he was not even involved in any of the decisions. He didn't get the loss or anything. Tristan McKenzie came in relief. He picked up the loss, giving up two earned runs in three innings. Zach Greinke went 5 2/3, struck out only one, walked one. And I don't, who the hell got that? I think Scott Barlow got the win.
He got the dub, yeah.
Yeah, he got the dub going two, striking out three. And we were kind of looking at like where he was in. It was the eighth inning, tied. So it did look like a leveraged.
Fireman.
Yeah, it looked like the leverage save situation. But here was the problem. And I saw our boy pitcher list, Nick Pollock, point this out. Shane Bieber, to me, pulled a Darvish in that he got away with a lot of stuff where it could have been a lot messier. He only gave up one earned run and gave up three hits, but check this stuff out. And you're going to hear this on all the podcasts, and I saw him tweeting about it. Shane Bieber was down over 200 RPM on every single pitch. So that's spin. 200 plus spin on every single pitch was down. He was over 400 lost on that curve. So it's still solid, by the way. 2,300, he gets spin on the four seam. 2,600 on the slider. The cutter's about the same, and the knuckle curve is 23. But what that's saying is that knuckle curve, its spin was sitting around 2,800. It lost over 400 points on there. Here's the other concern. Velocity dip. His fastball lost over 2 miles, and I'm throwing his cutter in there as well. Fastball and cutter lost over 2 miles per hour on average, right, and over a mile and a half on the slider and knuckle curve. So velo down, spin down.
Before we freak out, let's not forget, once again, the high was 47 degrees.
Okay, great point. And I gave an excuse to what's his face.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that these are no warning signs. These are warning signs, but I'm not hitting the panic button on Shane Bieber just yet because of one bad performance with all this stuff is down. This is concerning for sure, but 47 degrees was high today. So it probably wasn't 47 degrees for most of that game. So I'm not gonna kill Bieber quite yet. I mean, you know, if someone could show me the difference, was he throwing in 47 with all those RPM and everything every time? From last year, I just don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That actually would be interesting to see, like, what is the cold weather
game
like, spin look like his average?
Yeah, there's got to be some marker where they just drop.
Yeah, I just think
you have a hard time gripping the ball, feeling your fingers and stuff.
I just think it's too significant. Like, I'm not killing him or anything like that, but I am concerned.
By the way, this Arizona guy is calling 47 cold. I mean,
it is cold.
That is cold.
Is that
for
not
us.
Cold to everybody?
I mean, I think to, you know, people from Iowa and Indiana, Minnesota.
Really? You know,
where gets Illinois, where it gets like death cold, they're like,
oh, are they like, oh, I got to put shorts on.
They'll go jogging in 47, yeah, with shorts, right.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like under 50 should be unanimously cold. Is that not a unanimous statement?
I mean, probably not. Not throughout this country. So.
Okay, all right, well, you learned something. I would have assumed that it was. So, like, I'm with you, and I don't ever get like this with a lot of players where I'm like, oh, screw it, I'm completely out. Like, if you read Nick's tweets about it, I think you're going to go into full panic mode. And I think you should be concerned. I'm worried that this is going to be a trend, but is it something where you get overreacting? I don't know if I'd be overreacting. I don't think this performance goes out and warrants some awesome trade.
Yeah, you can't do anything now anyway. Like, all you can do with a guy like Shane Bieber is buy low. So, you know, if someone wants to sell him because, you know, he had this bad day, and you know, Nick says at the end of this tweet, I'm scared.
Yeah. So, it's not a good tweet.
It's not a great tweet. So if someone does panic, I am more than happy buying him low. I don't know what that looks like yet. You know, hit us up with some trade offers that you might have for Bieber. If anyone is panicking, but you can buy low, but if you roster him, you cannot sell him right now because he's at a low point.
After that performance, it makes it worse?
I mean, two or three bad performances like this, he will get lower. But I don't know, man. I just can't sell him after one start in cold weather.
Because no, I agree.
Even if 47 isn't cold, even for a guy like Bieber, they've been in Arizona for months. It's much warmer here.
It's a very good point. I'm listening, though, because I am. I think that the spin stuff is – the spin loss – with a velo loss, that combination, I think, is very worrisome. Like, if you have a velo loss, but you're still, you know, you're still rocking an above average spin across the board on your pitches and you can have really good command, I think you're good. But I still think there's other things you can feel positive about. Almost every single pitch generated an over 30 CSW. He led in swings and misses. He had 10. It's not awesome, but you know.
We might have a couple of these though too. Like more walks in the first start because it wasn't crazy abbreviated spring, but these guys, you know, specifically pitchers, they usually ramp up in February. And a lot of them are doing their own stuff, but who knows? Maybe they just weren't going as hard at it cuz they didn't know when the season was going to start. I mean, our prediction was May 1st. You know,
yeah.
So some of these guys probably had that in their mind as well and didn't ramp up as much. So
early freakouts are dangerous. So yeah, it's just yeah. this
40
this
degrees. I just looked. Someone said to Nick, they're like, bruh, it was 40 degrees and raining. You
know? Did they say bruh?
They did. Yes. 100%. Okay. And then, you know, someone mentioned the abbreviated spring, too. These are good points. So, I just refused to hit the panic button. After one start, can't do it. And he didn't even look terrible. I know he danced around some stuff, but, you know, I think he'll be all right. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm monitoring it. The combo is a little bit worrisome. It's some significant stuff, but, you know, he's still Shane Bieber, and he's still valuable. And if anything, you know what? There might be this inverse where the panic that guys like Nick and them create might cause a buying opportunity, like you said. Yeah. I think the buying opportunity is more real than the selling opportunity, don't you
yes.
think?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, all you can do is buy him. You cannot sell him if you have him rostered.
Here's the other big dog that we would want to cover. Robert Andrew Witt Jr. With his first professional hit in Boggs, he, according to Baseball Savant, had the best EV of any player, a 110.4 exit velocity on that absolute rip he tore into it.
I thought that was gone off the bat.
I did too. Was it a triple or was it a double?
It was a double.
I didn't even bother to look. I thought he was it a double? I mean, that's a great first. Yeah, it was a double. So he ended up going one for
him,
four.
Nicky Lopez and Dozier all had doubles. You know that.
Four, yeah, yeah. I know the Nicky Lopez one. Four EV higher than any other player in this game. The next was, very interesting, Amed Rosario, 106.7. Actually, the top five, this might be something to look out for. I've told you about Amed Rosario kind of being one of my guys. Of the top five EVs in this game, Amed Rosario had two of them of the top five, both at 106. So he was hitting the ball hard. One got caught, and then I think one got in there. But Bobby Witt ends up going one for four with an RBI. I think people like some of my calls on him now. Merrifield had a hit. Benintendi looked pretty good with a hit. One of the best guys in this game, though, was Miles Straw. I don't know how much you paid attention to him, Boggs. Two for four. He had a walk.
The swipe.
Yeah. And a stolen base early on. He looks phenomenal as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super glad that he is a leadoff hitter because I did have him pretty high in my final rankings for the accuracy over at Fantasy Pros. So hopefully he sticks there the whole season. Looked real strong, and they let him run on day one. We like that. I mean, you know. The tribe, I almost did it.
You did.
You're right. They didn't have, like, these top hitters. You know, Straw went 2 for 4. Rosario was 1 for 4. Ramirez 1 for 4. Reyes 1 for 4. The only other guys that had a hit were Jimenez, who was 1 for 4, and then Kwan was 1 for 2. So
Kwan looked really good too, man. I gotta admit. I hate to admit, you know, because I was one of those guys I was just like, I was just kind of indifferent about. And I did take a couple shares late. Boy, is he a super patient hitter. I still stand firm that I'm worried he's Luis Arraez, you know, and that, like, does he provide other stuff?
He hits 300 with nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, with other stuff. But he had two walks. He had a hit. I mean, he got on base.
The celery of fantasy baseball, right?
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, empty. Yeah, he's empty calories. The Miles Straw thing, though, I'm pissed that I wasn't more aggressive, but I got aggressive really late. Like, yeah, I took him in our AL super late.
Getting more aggressive.
Yeah. I started to get more and more aggressive because I was worried how empty is this going to be, but who cares? If he's going to be 2-for-4 every game and steal these bases, who cares?
And it gets to one point. That's why, you know, I took him in specific builds when I had like nothing at stolen base. But in those scenarios, I have nothing in terms of stolen bases because I built so much in power. So you don't have to get, you know, even 10 from him when you've already built that much power. But of course, these guys start to, you know, the power guys mix with the like, when you're piecing it together, you really start to lose out on average. So that can get a little dicey.
I think, you know, like, he was definitely a build guy for me later because we had those bigger leagues and stuff. I don't know if you can do it, but Straw would be someone I'd be very interested in trying to get into trades. I know it would probably be impossible because he's such a stolen base guy, blah, blah, blah. But boy, would I like to, I'd like to get the shares before he starts to separate himself too much from the pack. Because this is, you know, at one time, and I'm kind of pissed that I didn't do it, dude. On one of our bold predictions, I was going to have Miles Straw lead the league in stolen bases, and I didn't do it anywhere. And I've had multiple opportunities with these different things. And I don't know, man, like, before he starts to separate himself from the pack, because he's a really good hitter as well, and he's leading off, I would see, if you don't have your share, see what's out there for him. But I walked away impressed with Kwan, impressed with Straw, and even though the results weren't quite there, impressed with Amed Rosario for the Guardians because he was hitting the ball hard, and I wonder if it's still there. And then obviously, just taking the tailwind back here, Bobby Witt looks phenomenal. And I think anyone that is on the Bobby Witt train should feel pretty good about it right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it was always kind of like, he's for sure. He's the one rookie that we were pretty sure was making the opening day roster, and he is absolutely living up to that number one prospect status. So
the St. Louis Cardinals beat the crap out of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Easy bets across the board.
It's going to be a long
dude.
Year, Pirates fans.
Year, dude. 9-0. Adam Wainwright looked phenomenal, dude. He went 6, struck out 6, walked none, gave up only 5 hits. He looked great in it.
He also got to play the Pirates. Let's not forget
that. Fair point. Fair point. Okay. Very, very good point. It was the Pirates. I mean, it wasn't much different than like what the Diamondbacks were doing or anything like that. So I shouldn't be losing my mind or anything like that. But I just want to point out that like he looked really
great. And he had a great year last year. And I mean, he's been excellent. Still, he played the Pirates.
He did play the Pirates. He was commanding, though. Dylan Carlson was in the leadoff spot. Something to continuously monitor. I think that's a great place for him. Did have a couple strikeouts. What's that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he had
great
1 hit, 2 runs. Goldie had a hit, 4 walks, hitting from the 2 spot. Good Lord. Tyler O'Neill, man, looked picked right back
but
up.
He
looked
short.
He looked great. I'm whatever with anything I've ever said about him. I turned a corner because, again, you go in like everybody else did. You go and look at the EV numbers. You look at how hard he was hitting the ball, and which also those EV numbers, I know you can look at them and be like, who cares? But those EV numbers also, they represent solid contact. It's a representation of making really good contact, not just hitting the ball really freaking hard. That's why, like, I talked to you about Amed Rosario, and he's just right back at it. He was 2-for-5 with 5 damn RBIs, hit a homer, had a walk, only 1 strikeout. He looks every bit the part that you had to pay for him, dude.
Yeah, he looks great. Bader looked great. I mean, I guess we could say the same thing. They got to play JT Brubaker in the Pirates.
Everybody likes Brubaker, or people liked Brubaker. I mean, I don't know if they like him after this game, but I remember, I don't know who it was.
The Cardinals are a tough draw.
Dude, it was very early in the preseason, and someone hit me up, and they were like, hey, JT Brubaker's not in your top 300. Is that a mistake? And I was like, no, it's not a mistake. And no, it's clearly not a mistake here. So I guess we got to be fair with that. Okay, so that comes to this. Twitter world was losing their mind about Tommy Edman because I was not aware, Bogman, but similar to the Outsiders, you know how there's 2 groups? Do you remember the Outsiders with what were they called? They had like the slick hair, and it was like Tom Cruise is in it, and didn't they have a name?
I don't remember, dude.
Maybe like maybe you know the movie where it's like Warriors come out and play. How there's the 2 groups?
Oh yeah. That was the Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
You just said Tom Cruise. So.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking of The Outsiders because The Outsiders had like all of the actors in it. Either way, what I'm getting at, I didn't understand or know that fantasy baseball Twitter was divided about Tommy Edman. I was unaware of this.
I didn't know they were divided. I still didn't know they were divided. I thought just everybody hated him.
No.
I thought that was pretty much the accepted thing.
No, so you're only allowed, you have to actually pick a side. I don't know, you must not have got the memo.
Is Tommy Edman going into politics?
Yeah, no, it's fantasy. You didn't get the fantasy baseball memo, apparently. They didn't send it to you. That you have to either have been Tommy Edman is fake, he's a loser, he's fake news, or that he is the breakout star that stole a bunch of bases. You had to be in one of those camps because what happened was Tommy Edman hit a homer. It's a pretty nice looking homer. And the Tommy Edman people came out and said, how you like them apples? And
Tommy Edman's cousins.
The not Tommy Edman people were like
baseball people.
Those what they say is oh, it was one game. It's just one game. So
I mean you can just one game everything, right?
Yeah. I mean whatever. And look,
I already have with Shane Bieber, right? And Adam Wainwright. But I mean it's also true. You know, it's a long season. So we got 161 more of these to go. So, you know, I think you can't overreact to anything from day one. But Tommy Edman hit a homer. We'll take it. Maybe that'll get him bumped up out of this ninth spot. I mean, that's really
– Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the issue is you don't want anyone hitting in the ninth spot. Now, you know, hitting in the Cardinals' ninth spot is better than hitting in the, you know, Pirates or D-backs or Orioles' ninth spot for sure. But, you know, it's just not great for business.
The thing we didn't consider – is with the advent of the DH for everybody, the amount of teams that like to run that it's called like the second leadoff guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's having a nice speedy contact guy at the nine hole. So when you're turning over your lineup in different spots, you have a contact guy that then comes to the next guy who's a contact guy who's actually leadoff. That's a kind of perfect spot for Edman. But uniquely enough, take it for what it is, Tommy Edman might have had the highest of any EV today. I got to see what Seth Beers was. 112.6 was his exit velocity, which was 5 miles better EV, 5 miles an hour better than Roberto Perez or any of these other guys. He hit it 368 was the homer compared to 396 for Tyler O'Neill's. And Edmund looked fine.
Interesting, Dan Vogelbach hitting leadoff, right? Like, I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention to the Pirates lineup during spring training and stuff, but, you know, usually you don't put a man the size of Daniel Vogelbach in the leadoff spot, but I don't know.
It was a lot of conversation for us at the in the bourbon room was talking about Dan Vogelbach and before that I did a stages on Fantasy Pros and someone had like two people come in and like I have to defend Dan Vogelbach. I'm like, okay, defend him if you want. He's just like a big fat dude who they were like, hey, he gets really good on base, and he proceeded to go 0-for-3 with a strikeout. And my big hang up was like, dude, we looked at this lineup. I'm going to read it to you guys again. This was the starting lineup that the Pirates put out. I just want to remind you that Padres put out CJ Abrams on the roster. Bobby Witt made it for the Royals. Spencer Torkelson for the Tigers. Julio Rodriguez for the Mariners. Diamondbacks even made a commitment to Seth Beer. Old Diamondbacks, they'd have been like, let's get them some more seasoning or something. They made a commitment to Seth Beer. This is all those teams did that. This is what the Pirates put out on opening day. Dan Vogelbach, DH, leading off. Brian Reynolds hitting .200. Key Brian Hayes, .300. Yoshi Setsugo.
And Key Brian got hurt. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah, you're right.
He left in like the very first inning.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Setsugo hitting .400. Kevin Newman hitting .500. Cole Tucker, .600. Ben Gamel, .700. Roberto Perez, .800. And Hoy Park hitting .900. They also pinch hit with Josh Van Meter, Diego Castillo, and Michael Chavis. That's the roster. There are better AAA rosters out there right now. You know what? The Pirates' AAA roster is better because they have O'Neill Cruz on it. It's so embarrassing that they put this stinky lineup out there. And then the theoretical best player they have, Key Brian Hayes, after like, you know, one inning, he got hurt. He had some cramp. I think they ended up saying it was like more of a cramp that it was on his wrist, but he came out of the game. They undid all his like wrist stuff, and then he walked off kind of upset.
Had wrist surgery last year too, you know. And he, you know, even the announcers were like, Pirates just gave this guy an 8-year extension in the first inning in the first game of the season, and when he fell, it was against the first batter. They didn't take him out till the third batter.
They were so. I was listening to that. I've never heard a crew more excited to chastise a player about their contract than that one. They were so. Yeah. They're like, can you believe this guy? He's 3 minutes into his new contract and he's already hurt. Can you believe this?
They're probably like, God, they don't spend any money, and then they finally give money to keep Ryan Hayes, and dude gets hurt immediately.
Yeah, but they were like,
that's the Pirates' fault.
To me, it was almost borderlining the whole, like, Ozzy Albies getting $100 million. Like, what are you guys doing here? Like, you guys are sitting here, like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, he hurt his wrist. Like, right after he gets a... It was like he planned it. He got his money and he ran. Idiots.
Yeah. No one is going to have sympathy for the Pirates when they refuse to spend any money.
Well, you know what? That's a fair point. They also are super embarrassing. The team's embarrassing. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of great fantasy value. I am going to, for this month, I am going to heavily bet against this team. I don't know how long it'll turn. All the betting stuff is going to find its footing over the next couple of weeks. But early on, I think it's a very good bet to place against this team. The Cardinals are going to run through them, sweep the series. They have no good pitching. Brubaker is the best thing they have. Their offense is absolutely embarrassing, and they got shut out. I'll be shocked that they score 5 runs in this Cardinals series. Total.
Yeah, I mean, they look rough.
Yeah,
blank today. Only team to put up no runs, right?
Yeah, they were stinky. Only team with no runs. Diamondbacks were pretty close. The Reds and the Braves. Reds beat the Braves 6-3 in Atlanta, dude. Tyler Mahle was
when they hung the banner. They hung the championship banner today. So
well, they also had a really messy situation with Ronald Acuna that came out before the game that apparently he did like an Instagram live and it got a little mistranslated, but it essentially came down to him. Well, no, there was an early translation that was like, good, I'm glad Freddie Freeman's gone. I didn't like him, blah, blah, blah. And it got toned down a little bit, but essentially it was Ronald Acuna not missing Freddie Freeman and being like, you know, he was making me turn my hat back and the eye black, and he was the hazing, and he just was kind of like, he's not my guy.
Did you see Freddie's response? He said that, well, there are organizational rules within the Braves that, you know, you don't wear big chains, you don't wear earrings, you don't have eye black all over your face. He said, and I was a veteran, so I was a guy enforcing that. So, you know, I hope. It sounded like his publicist wrote it, right?
I thought it was all right. Said. I mean, for the most part, Ronald Acuna responded to this one tweet who broke all this stuff down, and he's like, I didn't say that. And then you come back and it's like, well, dude, you were on Instagram. Like, you said most
someone
of this stuff.
Someone screen capped. Yeah, you said 90% of it.
Yeah, you said most of this stuff. It was a bad look. So they had that coming in here. And Tyler Mahle, which was one of my top plays, I made the bet the night before, had a strikeout prop of 4.5. He ended up striking out 7 in 5 innings. So that was a great, that ended up being a great bet, an individual bet that I made. And, you know, I was actually talking with John Legeza, MLB Moving Averages, before, and we were talking about how what was interesting is this was the only game he saw that had a first five that was +1 in favor of the Reds. And he thought that was super interesting. And he thought it was a bet. I didn't bet it. And I'm stupid because it would have been an absolute hit. Tyler Mahle dominated 7 strikeouts, only 3 hits in 5 innings, which is going to change. And then this is what got everybody worked up. Tony Santillan ended up getting the save for this game. And I had a theory, Boggs, in that going into the 8th, this game was 6-1. And then Moretta gave up a 2-run shot to Austin Riley. And I figured the bullpen, I don't 100% know this, but I figured, and by the way, like, remember, we just came back from the game, so I haven't had time to like dig around at stuff when we're doing this. Yeah. But my assumption was that they had already had kind of these like secondary longer relief, these extra guys going in the bullpen. So when it instantly became, oh, this is now a save situation, Santillan just got the shot. Like, I don't know if they walked into this game and they're like, if we're in a save situation, it will be Tony Centillion. This will be the guy. He ended up getting the save and he looked good. He struck out too. Maybe it will be a thing because they don't have anybody. So here's the pin that I put earlier. Who would you rather speculate on? Tony Centillion or David Robertson?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this question. It's Robertson for me, even though I just said all this stuff about, you know, look, Robertson is probably not going to be the guy to get every single save for the Cubs. And they're going to mix all these guys up. But I still would rather have Robertson than Centillion. And the reason is I just think there's so many guys in the back end of that, Reds bullpen. They're going to mix all of those guys. I think the same thing is going to happen with the Cubs, but I think the Cubs might gain a little momentum with Robertson. I don't know if Santillan's going to get every opportunity. Just like you just said, he might have just had his number drawn tonight. And tomorrow, if they win again, it could be somebody completely different. So I pick him up if you're in a free-for-all, whatever. I am just not blowing the bank for either one of these guys yet. Like, if you have, like, the everyday waiver stuff and you'd have to put it in today or whatever, like, I don't know, maybe $5-$10 on these guys if you only have $100.
To your point, the positive is most people's waivers are going to run on Sunday if you do weekly. So you're going to have a chance to see if this is like more of a real thing. If it were daily, I'm with you. Like, I might speculate if I had like daily transactions or something.
Snap them up.
Why not? You speculate on saves, right, especially if you need it, if he gets it. I think, and I agree with you, I think between the two, Robertson is the one I think that has a better shot to, hold than Centillion does.
All right. So Centillion, Robertson, obviously leading the league in saves this year.
Oh, clearly. 100%.
We're not very excited about them. How about Austin Riley?
Yeah, Austin Riley, 3-for-4, 2 RBIs, had a homer, looked fantastic. He was the biggest force of offense in this entire team. Braves had 4 total hits, and he had 3 of them. And he accounted for 2 of the RBI. So it was Austin Riley's run. I think it was just a bunch of like little dink and dunk things for the Braves. And you were a big Austin Riley guy preseason.
The official third baseman of every Bogman mock was Austin Riley, right. For sure. I mean, I had him all over the place. And I know people were worried about him because his career batting average is bad, but he got better last year as the year went on too. So it's not like he had this like, he had a huge first half and then a big fade in the second half. He got better in the second half. So that's kind of why I was like, I just don't understand why people are down on him. Sure, he could tank, and this could be like, you know, like the Diamondbacks. This could be his one great day, and he doesn't have a day as good as this for a while, right? But I think he's going to have a pretty solid year, and hit number 3 for the champs is a pretty good spot to be.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot on the Braves' offensive side. On the pitching side, Max Fried, not great. 5 2/3, give up 5 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. On the Red side, Aquino, awful, had 4 strikeouts in the game, but it was pretty spread out offense. Drury had a couple hits with some RBI. Jonathan India was 2-for-5, and he was in the leadoff spot. So continue. I mean, that's killer. And Tommy Pham was hitting 3 bogs. He had a walk, didn't really.
Tommy Pham.
Yeah, he didn't amount to anything in the game, but he was hitting 3
in front of
Joey Votto.
That's a good spot to be in. Did you see? I was watching some of the highlights right before we fired up, and I got to this game, and Joey Votto was mic'd up, and he said, Albies, think about getting a diamond tooth. Well, what are your thoughts? Albies like, go for it. You should do it. And he's like, I'm just having a midlife crisis, dude. I'm not going to do that. So it was a funny little back and forth.
Yeah,
so
Jack asked me, by the way, and he's like, hey, what was that thing you couldn't say about Joey Votto from the podcast? And I was like, and I'm not going to say what it was, but I told him in person. I was like, yeah, Joey Votto's doing a little something, doing the nude pool thing and then doing the sexy Harry Potter dance. He's definitely going through a midlife crisis. He's having fun with it.
Yeah, he's going to get a diamond tooth now. So there you go.
So Tommy Pham hitting 3 is very, very intriguing to me. I love Jonathan India hitting in the leadoff spot, which opens up a little bit. And, you know, if this Red team does sneakily do some stuff, I'm going to have to eat some of my words on being down on some of these players. And Tyler Molly. So I saw somebody point this out, and I thought this was really interesting, that Molly seemed to separate his cutter and his slider. I guess there wasn't a lot of separation from it. There's now more of like an actual incline difference between the pitches, and he's spread because cutters and sliders can kind of be like the same thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That can be a problem sometimes where a guy clearly throws, like we've seen instances where everybody's like, oh, this guy throws a slider, and you ask the guy and he's like, no, it's a cutter. And there's more of a differential, and he's got like a 3 to 4 mile an hour difference. So now you have this pitcher, he's throwing four pitches all over 15%, at least in the first game. His cutter was 15% of his pitches, splitter 19, slider 20, and 45 on the fastball. And he also had an increase in spin on all pitches. There was no reference to the cutter, by the way, just because that was a warranted new pitch. But you can see right here, his slider, he was throwing around 2,600. His cutter is around 2,400. And so he increased there. He had a slight little increase on the splitter on EV. So all I'm getting at is, like, dude was getting swings and misses. He was getting whiffs, and he's got a four-pitch arsenal that he goes to with a little bit more spin, and he looked fantastic up there. He looked
He really did look good against the champs, too. So great day for him, you know. And this is one, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm a hypocrite because I'm more willing to accept good things, than I am bad things. But this looked pretty good and against a tough opponent too. So Molly, looking great out there. So
yeah,
hopefully
have some Molly. Everybody have some Molly. It's a fun time. Let's take a quick break. We come back. We only got the last two games. We're not gonna do big on the Diamondbacks, but I do want to take a look. I want to see what the EV was on that beer pitch. We'll take a quick look. Only two more games to break down for opening day right here and in this league.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
So let's go over to the Mets and the Nationals, where Tylor, my God, did Nick have a day. They literally went and made merch because of the appearance. it was a wild one. Yeah, the Ty Lord, the Mets beat the Nationals 5-1, and they had little McGill out there being the lead dog. And the thing that got everybody going and got Nick going was the max velocity on pitches was like a huge jump for McGill. So McGill saw a 4.5 mile an hour increase on his changeup, which, by the way, maxed out at 91.5 miles per hour. He had a 91.5 changeup. He was hitting 99 on his fastball, which was a 1.5 mile per hour increase. And he also saw increases on the slider and curveball. He was essentially slider, changeup, fastball. He threw the curveball once. Everything else was 20%, 20%, 53%. He got 19 swings on the fastball. He ended up with 10 swings and swing and misses when all was said and done. But like he looked phenomenal in the first start, and Nick couldn't get enough of it. And it was the big EV jump that they have. So the Tylor may be a real thing, Boggs.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big strikeout guy. That's why I kind of liked him going into this season. So to see that increase in speed and, you know, 12, called strikes plus whiffs, which is 31% for him. That's a great marker. You love to see it, Welsh.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. Do I buy completely in? No. But listen, dude, you're hitting almost 100 with a 90-something mile an hour changeup. I'd like to see this guy would be insane if he was pumping a 90 mile an hour slider as well. You know, you'd probably have to, he'd have to throw something more differentiating, but like if he had the elite slider, that would be pretty good. But, these pitches look good. The performance looked pretty good. He ended up his line, as I come over here, his line was 5 innings, struck out 6, only gave up 3 hits to the Nationals. Would mind you, it is the Nationals team, like you also said. On offense, Starling Marte, he had a hit. He was hitting from the leadoff spot. He was caught stealing as well. JD Davis hit 2. Lindor hit 3, which is weird. And then Pete Alonso, he got hit in the head. He was hitting four, and he got beamed in the head, and they took him out. I think he was okay, dude, though, but they weren't screwing around.
He looked weird rounding third, too. Like, he got thrown out at the plate, and he looked weird rounding third. So, yeah, it's just a bad day for Pete Alonso. Even though he's 2-for-4, you know, hopefully he's doing okay, man.
I think it's okay. They said, like, the majority of the ball, like, kind of hit on the shoulder. So I think he was all right. But it looked like he, like, if he didn't take it straight to the jaw, because I think it would have broke his jaw if he did.
Yeah.
But it looked like it was close. Lindor, 3 strikeouts. Don't love that. And I just, like, forget Robbie Cano exists. Like, it's so crazy. He started at second base, and he was 2-for-3 in the game. That's wild. And he had a walk. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't test for a while. It's good stuff. So,
He hit above Robbie. He hit above Mark Canna, or as we call him, Jesse Severe in the Army, which I think Robbie Cano might be a guy to keep an eye on if he's going to be in that offense. You really might have to. On the Nationals might have put out one of the most embarrassing lineups I've ever seen from top to bottom.
I don't think so, dude. You just read off the Pirates. So
okay, you know what? Yeah, you're right. But they look like Mikel Franco.
This looks amazing compared to the Pirates. So.
I was talking with my friend Dennis Sidler, who has Sid's Graphs. You guys should check out. And I can't get over how the Nationals could surround Juan Soto with these guys. Nelson Cruz was 0-for. Juan Soto hit a huge bomb, which. It's the best meme I think I might have seen all year, outside of the one someone made about you, where I don't remember who the pitcher was. I don't know if it was McGill or whoever it was. Just well, obviously it wasn't McGill. He went 5. I guess it was who gave up the run. It was Trevor May. He just throws his hands up in mid pimp from Juan Soto. It's such a great image, dude.
I mean, Juan Soto's a stud. You know, you can't beat yourself up giving a bomb up to Juan Soto. He's one of the best hitters in baseball.
428 on total distance with a 111 EV, which is pretty solid. By the way, looking at this, top EV pitches, top three were Edwin Diaz. Edwin hit 101 tonight, which is
burning it in there.
Crazy.
Burning it.
Yeah. And Juan Soto looks fantastic. Everybody else is just kind of on the
Keeper. Keeper. 2-for-4. Not bad.
Not bad. So we'll I think we had a Robles signing as well. Robles was down at the bottom of the order, but he struck out twice, 0-for-2, just blah. Patrick Corbin, he went 4, struck out 4, walked 2, 2 earned runs. Not really great. Like, I don't feel encouraged. He only had 4 or 6 swing and misses in action on that.
That's tough on all of Welsh's teams. That's you know, him and Kershaw were your number 1 and 2 own rostered guys. So
yep, and I'm a little concerned as well because he had an over maybe it's a weather thing and hold it to it, but he had over a mile per hour loss on 3 of his 4 pitches, an EV drop on average. Where it was a 1.5 on the fastball too, which I don't like. Spin was down across the board, most significantly on the changeup, which that's actually not the worst thing on the changeup, but he had a little bit of a drop across the board. I would say when I see like 50 RPM loss on the spin, that's probably more of a cold weather thing. So I'm not discouraged by the Patrick Corbin line yet. It might've just been weather or whatever. And then let's move over to the Astros and the Angels, which had an insane prop line of Shohei Ohtani at 4.5 strikeouts. We just kept looking at it. I remember you were just like, you're like, wait, what? Like, what? Was that the number? And I was like, yeah, it's the number. He ended up striking out 9.
We were trying to figure out, like, why. And the only thing we'd come up with would be, like, was he on a super strict pitch count? And we couldn't really find much there with that. So, no, I mean, how many pitches did he end up? 80. He had 80. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not an insane amount, but it's not. If you're Shohei Ohtani, if you're throwing 80 pitches, you're going to have 5 strikeouts. Like, come on. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, unless you just get your tits lit, you're probably going to be in a good spot. And he didn't. He did only go 4 2/3, which is pretty brutal. But he struck out 9, walked 1 with the 80 pitches, which was solid. In the game, he ended up hitting. He was lead off, and he was 0-for-4, which that's a huge bummer. And the amount of moves around him are crazy. Trout hit 2, Rendon hit 3. And Matt Duffy hit 4.
Of course.
What?
Well, he's got the orange cat. So, which I don't think he actually has that cat anymore. But, yeah, it's our guy Matt Duffy. He's a cleanup hitter in Major League Baseball, only to be replaced by Tyler Wade as a pinch runner in that game. So,
again, what are the Angels doing? Shohei Ohtani.
Like, put Walsh there. Put Adele there. Like, do something. Don't put Matt Duffy there. I mean, he's 2-for-3, so what do we know? But, I mean, that's this. Does not seem right. One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah. Ohtani had 14 swings and misses on pitch count tonight, which is pretty good. Framber Valdez's 11. Valdez went 6 2/3, struck out 6, only gave up 2 hits, looked pretty dang good. Ryan Pressly got the save. Offensive side, here was maybe the biggest takeaway. Alex Bregman might be back, dude. He had a homer. Him and Jordan Alvarez both had homers in this game. He was 2-for-4 with a run. And look like he was just right back into old Alex Bregman. So this might be a very, very encouraging sign. I know there are a lot of, I know Spore, I think, was like a big Alex Bregman return guy. Going up against Ohtani in this matchup look like it's like the inverse. Bregman looked fantastic hitting 3. They put Tucker down at freaking, what was it? What did they hit him, dude? They hit him 7 or 8. No, they hit him 6. And he went 0-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout.
Yeah, I mean, he's behind everybody good in this lineup, and it's, you know, the guys sitting behind him are Pena, who I know a lot of people are excited for. He's a rookie. Chase McCormick was 2-for-4, and then 0-for-4 from Maldonado. That the back end of that lineup's not fantastic.
And Pena was 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts as well. Here's a little thing: Altuve, he led off. He struck out 3 times, walked once, but he had a stolen base. So
I like that.
He got a stolen base in there. Yeah, exactly. Was there any other takeaways on this one? I mean, I was encouraged on the Ohtani pitching. Hitting was pretty suboptimal. Luckily, we had Trout out there. I thought the Astros just looked good in general. Framber was pretty fantastic. Ryan Pressly gets to say, I feel like everything that should happen with the Astros did happen.
Yeah, like I'm going to be interested to see who hits cleanup for the Angels tomorrow, right? Are they going to put Matt Duffy back there? I can't imagine that they do. So that is something I'm looking for. And with the Angels, just, you know, they're going to get going. So I'm not worried about them.
I'm kind of interested in Tyler Wade, but what the Matt Duffy stuff, like, what the hell is, why is he hitting 4?
I don't know. Well, yeah. What are we why doing is here? Matt Duffy, like, did he win a bet against, you know,
feels like
against somebody here, and now he has to hit, cleanup or something? I don't know. It just seemed weird. It seemed very out of place.
A couple other notes I forgot on this. Joe Adell went back to looking like garbage. 0-for-3, 3 strikeouts, absolute trash.
Good spring. See ya. Yeah.
Yep. See ya. Brandon Marsh, he had a strikeout. It was 0-for-2, but a note that we got was that they said when Taylor Ward returns, he will be the everyday left fielder, which would displace Brandon Marsh. Or Joe Adell. If Joe Adell keeps going 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, let's just not count it as Brandon Marsh. But I think it's Brandon Marsh. I can't believe he said that. Like, they said every day. Taylor Ward, healthy, he returns to everyday outfield spot.
Well, look, you know, you can convince your manager to not do that by having a great month. So, you know,
you
got to earn it. You know, you got to earn it right now. So we'll see if, you know, he can get there before word comes back, but not a great sign for Marsh, that's for sure.
And then our Diamondbacks, just lastly, I mean, we kind of talked about all of it. Darvish, 6, he walked 4, struck out 3. Bumgarner only went 3. He also walked 4. We had 8 walks from our starting pitchers in this game with a combined 5 strikeouts. Mantipli got the – I looked at him. I was like,
Mantiply.
I was like, who is this?
Yeah, dude. I mean,
Mantiply, isn't that the bad guy in SpongeBob SquarePants?
I don't know. I never watched SpongeBob.
So. Mantiply. I'm pretty sure Mantiply is definitely the thing that the two superhero characters in SpongeBob SquarePants.
My menace in school. I was trying to Mantiply all the time in algebra class. Just couldn't get it right. So
I don't know.
I mean, look. Seth Beard didn't even have the highest EV in this game.
I was looking at that dude. Yeah, not even in the top. He didn't even register in the top 5. He did hit that bomb 386, but he didn't register.
It's a wall scraper, but I mean, we'll take it.
It wasn't even 100. It was, I think here would be the last one. It was 98.8 with a 34-degree launch angle. It was I mean, it was such a freaking moonshot that he hit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even that he topped it. He popped that in the air. He got it right over. 386 was there. Yu Darvish had 10 swing and misses in the game. Bumgarner only had 4. Robert Suarez, it is fascinating. He registered all of the highest mile-an-hour pitches, but every single one of those was a ball, I just want to point out. Like 100.4, 100.4, 100, all of them were a ball. That guy cannot hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, I mean, he looked terrible. Like, I would not be surprised if, you know, they sent him down pretty quick.
Well, they're just not going to put him in that role. I mean, yeah, that's actually a really good point. You know, I mean, Craig Stammen looked poopy as well. Pierce Johnson looked all right.
Suarez didn't get an out, dude.
I tell you, it was like 12 balls to 2 strikes he threw. Yeah. You looked at me at one point, and you're like, he's thrown 8 straight balls. And I'm like,
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah, after ball 7, I'm like, here comes ball 8. And they gave it, I mean, it was the most generous strike call I've ever seen given. And then he threw ball 8. You know, it was just that. And then he threw the wild pitch. I mean, just a horrible, horrible day. I mean, hopefully, maybe it was some opening day jitters and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you can't be out there doing that at any point in the game. Doesn't matter. You got to get out. So you got none. So that's ridiculous.
Opening day, anything, any like major standout of any guy, whether it was good performance, Tyler O'Neill, bad performance, Shane Bieber, Seth Beer, whoever, Bobby Witt. I mean, what was a big opening day takeaway? Like, do you have any fantasy implication from opening day?
Yeah, Molly and Miguel both look great. I think that's probably what stood out the most to me. And Austin Riley looking good, Tyler O'Neill looking good. I understand there's a little panic on Bieber. I'm not there yet. I'm not saying to ignore it, but what can you do about it right now? You know, you're not going to trade him off after one bad start. I think that's crazy. I would rather go down with the ship than trade a guy after one bad start. I just cannot do it.
Yeah, you and I are pretty like bullheaded about that. Like, yeah. We'd rather go down.
You're not going to get an offer that looks anywhere close to good enough. So why even bother listening to him, right? Listen to him. If someone offers you something you can't refuse, you absolutely do it. But you're going to get lowballed every way. So there's just no way that's going to be good. And look, of course the closers are important, and Robertson and Santillan look, they got the saves and they look like the guys right now. I'm not saying don't pick them up. I'm just saying, you know, if you have to wait till Sunday, I would not be surprised if there are other guys getting saves on both those teams before then. Maybe not. So right now, I'm not wholly and completely convinced.
It's
a great opening day because the D-backs won.
It was. You know, with the trade, we didn't really talk about that, but, you know, the Taylor Rogers going to the Padres, it sent Chris Paddock and Emilio Pagan to the Twins. Right. Paddock jumps into that 5 role. Thank you, Jesus, because I have him. And if they can just figure out how to get that fastball going that doesn't take away from him trying to throw a curve, he might have some results. But here's the other thing, dude. The Twins don't have a solidified closing role yet. If you go on Roster Resource, Emilio Pagan is in the mix, but you also have Alcala. You have Duffy. A lot of us have thrown around Johan Duran is out there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no solidification for it. Whoever gets that job, I will be exponentially more interested in than Robertson or Santillan.
How long before Archer is starting and Bundy's on the bench?
I mean, pretty quick.
In the bullpen, I mean.
Oh, I forgot Archer's in the bullpen. So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bundy's going to implode. He's going to absolutely implode. You might see Josh Winder, to be honest with you, get more of a start. Pagan is the guy I'm going to make the bet on.
Dude, I snapped up Pagan all over the place thinking, well, maybe he's the guy for San Diego. Because they have such a mix. You know, Pagan would have looked great after this terrible Suarez performance, but I'm glad I have him rostered because now I think he's kind of in the same spot that he was with San Diego before they traded for Rogers. So I kind of like Pagan just because he's got experience.
A bunch of big games coming up here on Friday. I don't want to go too crazy into it because people are going to be listening and it becomes old and stale, but you're going to get that Red Sox matchup, which is pretty sick. We're going to finally get the A's and Phillies, which are going to get some action. We didn't see Orioles and Rays either. I mean, it's like makeup games. Obviously, the Mariners game got postponed, is going to be played. This is a big ass slate of stuff. Some really big important stuff is going to be going on as well. Kind of across the board, and fully expect Ketel Marte to have four hits in the in that game.
I mean, I'm just glad that Scherzer made it. You know, going to start the second game, which is fantastic. So, because we just weren't sure, right?
Yeah.
So
we were looking too. The cheat sheet over in Fantasy Pros, a prop sheet. They got a weird one. The one we couldn't, like, literally, we spent like 10 minutes before the podcast trying to figure out. Was like, what the hell with the Dodgers? Why was the prop on Walker Buehler only 4.5 strikeouts? We couldn't get over that. And we were looking, and the reason was he gets lit up a little bit by the Rockies.
Some of these, don't they feel like bait? You know?
Oh, it always feels like bait.
They always have those dumb ones that's like, oh, if your team scores one run, you win, you know, you double your money, whatever. They always have those clear bait ones. But these low strikeout totals, they feel like bait.
Well, sure.
Maybe half of them won't hit by the end of the week, and we'll be like, okay, we get it now, but I don't know, man.
Scherzer's was at 6.5, and his projection on most places is around 8, and it's going up his old team. I mean, that guy, if there's a bigger, more like hold a grudge, bulldog type of guy, it's freaking Max. Like,
they did give him a nice video tribute I saw today.
So. He probably is cursing them when they play it. He's like, get the fuck, you know, he'd probably be doing that. So I don't know about that, but. That was opening day. That was it. I mean, I don't know if you can hear it. Absolute pure exhaustion. You know, whooped.
Yeah.
I mean, Bogman's got to be just ripped right now because not only it is 1:17 a.m. for me and you're here too, but you are in Texas time. So it's got to be almost 3:30 in the morning.
3:15-ish. Yeah, that's what it feels like. So
I'll yeah, that's what it
taking
does.
Taking my sleeping pill and trying to pass out right after this. So.
Well, if you guys got questions, is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? You guys can hit us up. We'll also, you know, this weekend be finalizing what the full timeline is. I will tell you, we are going to have some form of voicemails. We've got to have voicemails, but I think voicemails is probably the in week thing, right, Boggs?
Yeah,
we're going to do. And also the times of the shows are going to change a little bit because, you know, preseason, we drop them on Wednesdays and Fridays. We don't do that on the in season shows. So we will probably be adjusting where I think our usual schedule is Monday, Thursday, right, Boggs? Doesn't that sound right? Mm-hmm. So the Thursday episode is where we will do voicemails. So you can send it in this league at gmail.com. If you
get those in by Wednesday.
Yes.
Preferably Tuesday night. But
yeah, it's late Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning. You literally record your voice and email it to us. And we will answer your questions and whatever, you know,
in this league at gmail.com.
We've had parody songs. We have questions, you know, partake in it. We will be doing listener voicemails, and that will probably be the entirety of like the listener, like we won't do like mailbag and stuff. So make sure you partake in that. Have fun. We're not, you know, be a part of the show. Don't be too sensitive, but also don't be afraid to do that stuff. Send those in on Thursdays, and we'll be having guest episodes. We'll be doing full breakdowns, waivers, all the guys that you need to pick up. But it was day one. I think there's some big implications. I'm worried about Weaver. I'm very much about Miles Straw after seeing him. Stephen Kwan is a real deal guy for you OBP leaguers. You should put him way up. And Seth Beer is the goddamn man. That's the biggest takeaway, probably, or anything. On National Beer Day. Beer Day, dude.
What a great day.
Can you believe it? National Beer Day.
Oh, I mean, all this stuff leading up to the season, too. You know, the lockout and everything. And we finally got, it's a little late, but we got baseball.
I think we needed that, though.
It was right on time, man.
We needed that release, if you will, all jokes aside with that.
Yeah.
Like, all of the pressure of all of the stuff that was going on to have the final game of the night end on a walk-off after there were no hit innings, and it happened to be our team, which this is probably one of 17 wins they're going to have all season, that it was walk-off fashion was phenomenal, and I hope you guys got a laugh. I know it's getting to the point where we do these videos where, you know, my stupid voice and it can be annoying and stuff, but hopefully you can hear the passion of it. Boggs and I, we are on the complete downturn of the night, but a killer opening day with some great implications that we're going to take into you guys next week. and I'm excited to do more of that. Find Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Get that Twitter count up, baby. Mr. 10K over here wants Bogman. I want to move some of my followers over to
you. You should have heard this guy talk to me today. He's like, hey, you know, I'm just telling you, 5 digits feels good. I've been here for a little bit now, and I think you should get up here. You know, you should get on my level. So this is pretty much what the Welsh was saying to me. 3 days after being Mr. 10,000.
Like, listen, I've been over 10,000 for a bit. I just want to let you know.
I'm just saying it's an exclusive club, and we all love being in it. And I would love for you to be in it, too. You know, you're a 4-digiter now. That's fine.
Listen,
that's cool.
I want to give you the password, but we got to get you to 10, and then I can give you the special key to get in.
Tropical. That was last night's password. No, just ask the bartender, Jacob. The bartenders change their name every night, too. So get out of here,
Bogman's
man. Once until you know the password.
That's Bogman's doing a 3 a.m. bit right now.
Yeah, dude, I am off the rails. Let's end this.
I can see it. Is it the Welsh? Bogman Sports on Twitter. We'll be on Fantasy Pros. Actually, Bogman and I will be on Fantasy Pros on Monday together. Joe is off. You'll catch some of us next week, and we will have more pods for you. You guys want to find us more? InThisLeague.com, and you can get on our GroupMe rooms. You can talk to us, have direct access to us, plus all of the other things. Friends, that is it. We are out of here. More baseball break it down next week. Thank you for joining along the ride. And, of course, we got to end on beer. 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 Beer.
Beer. Beer. Beer.